In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. That is the Christmas story. Now, the gospel from Romans. The Apostle Paul writes these things: "I consider that all our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He justified. those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither demons, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. During this Advent season, we have been playing at some journalism. We have been asking the journalistic questions of the coming of the Christ child. When did he come? Where did he come? Who is he that came? Questions like that. And on this Christmas Day, we're asking the final question, why? Why did he come? There's different answers to that, different ways that people might respond. Some people would say, what's that? He came? He actually came? And I think it's kind of an uninformed or a grinchy kind of way of answering the question. Some others would say, he came so that there could be lots of sales, so that the stores can move lots of products, so that we can have our Black Friday in time for some real prosperity. He came as the king of capitalism. Others say, he came to make pretty little pictures, kittens and such things, so that we can have these lovely images that make us say, aww. Some people say he came so that there could be music, the lovely and wonderful music of the season, some of which we have sung already today and experienced during Advent. Some people who are maybe more in tune with the biblical story would say, no, he came to be Emmanuel. He came to be God with us, and it's part of the plan. Others would answer, he came so that he could reveal the mercy and the love of God to us as the best and ultimate demonstration of love and grace. Others said, no, it's about mercy and it's about love. Others would say, no, and we've intimated at this, he came to die, that the purpose of Christmas was for a life lived and a sacrifice given and redemption achieved. And all these things are true, at least from the biblical perspective. But as I've been turning this question over in my mind, preparing for this Christmas Day and answering the question that we have posed to ourselves, I came to a slightly different answer. I came to the conclusion that Jesus came for freedom. That Jesus was born in Bethlehem so that he could set us free. from the prison that is our own sinfulness, our own depravity, our own brokenness, our own rebellion against God that chains us and confines us and limits us and shoves us down from experiencing all the joy that we would want. Jesus came to set us free from that. And not just us. When we confess the reality of sin, it's not just a personal thing. It's a force, it's a poison that impacted the world, that polluted and changed and twisted and tormented the entire creation. And Jesus was born into creation so that he could set creation free from that bondage. It's important that we remember how Jesus began his ministry. When after he had gone through boyhood and adolescence, and as he said, now is the time for me to take on the mantle of ministry, he went to Nazareth. We read this in Luke chapter 4. Went to the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll opened to Isaiah. And Jesus went public about the ministry that he had been given, the reason, the why for his coming. He said, he read this from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And if we summarize that, those good words, it comes down to freedom. Jesus came to set us free. But here's the important question, though, that comes out of that. Freedom, okay, but freedom from what? And the text in Romans helps us to understand what it is that we are set free from. We are set free from frustration, from knowing that there is a calling. We sense it, that Calvin and other scholars and biblical thinkers have said, you know what, we have within ourselves a God-shaped hole that we seek to have filled, and we are on a spiritual quest to find that God that fits in us, and that is Jesus. Until we know him, we will endure frustration seeking that which Jesus is. We are free from alienation. What sin does is separates. It makes people move one from another. It makes brokenness exist within our relationships, in every one of our relationships. Originally and most tragically, we are alienated from God because of sin. But not just God. We are alienated from others, from within our families, within our relationships, that there is a brokenness, that there is something that gets between us, that makes us lack the capacity to experience connection like God intended, and that is sin that does that. Indeed, we are alienated even from creation, and don't we do things to the creation? And don't we try to justify it for all kinds of reasons. But Jesus has come so that in the end we will also be in harmony with the creation itself. Because of Christ, we are free from weakness. We feel so powerless. We feel so vulnerable. Like, what can we do? We're just people, and we're small and insignificant, and we're broken. Sin makes us just not the kind of people we should be. Sin brings us defeat. that what we try to do, we fail to do because of the brokenness that is within us. And we are set free from death itself. How many times haven't we, as a people's families, as a congregation, walked in the valley of the shadow of death and experienced the coldness and the terrible grief that comes from loss? Jesus came to set us free from death itself. Now, being free means some things as well. It means that we can have confidence. If we are set free from sin, if Christ came as the gift of God, then we can have confidence in Him, that He is one who will not abandon us. He says, I am going to be there for you. Even when you sinned, I didn't write you off. I found a way to come in, to re-engage you through my Son. And so, if Christ has come to be with us, can we not have confidence in the future? Being free means that we have union with God. That sin, which is this divider, that this separator, so because of Christ, we have the freedom to be connected to God again. We have the freedom to be connected to one another again in holiness, in righteousness, in unity. And even with the creation, we can be reunited and look forward to the better day when creation will be regained. Being free means we are not weak, but we are strong. We have the strength that God provides for His people. Say, I'm just a person. Well, you're not just a person. You're a person that has the Holy Spirit in you. You're not just a person. You're a person that God has said, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my child, you are my friend, you are one I am going to walk with, you are one I am going to fill, and you are one I am going to send to do amazing things. And so we say, because of Jesus, we have victory. That what He has done is paid the price. What He has done is given us the assurance of victory, which means life. We have life in Christ. Jesus came that we might live. There's all kinds of passages, not all kinds, but plenty, that talk about what happens if we do not become united with God, if we don't accept the gift of God, and there's things like lakes of fire and eternal darkness and things like that. Well, we don't need to worry about that. We are in Christ. Christ came for us. Christ claimed us. He redeemed us. He says, you are mine forever. We have life. And started at Christmas. All these things we have now in guarantee. And we sometimes see all these things kind of imperfectly. It's a little bit blurry. And how often when we've experienced sickness, or when we've walked through those valleys of death, or when there's been disappointments in our lives, say, okay, I believe it's a bit tough right now, but we see imperfectly because we still live in a climate of brokenness. But even though it is thus, still we see the end. We see the goal. We see the promise. When Jesus comes again, and that's why we talk about then and now, also into the future, when Jesus comes again, we will see all things, and He will make all things that we will see clearly. We will see perfectly all these things we've been longing for, all these things promised to us, all these things say, yeah, we're going through this, but let us not forget. Well, we will see it, and we will receive it. And so on this Christmas day, we thank the Lord for His coming. And with the angels, we say glory to God in the highest. May this be not just a day for you of joy. May this be a season, a year, a life of giving glory to God, because He is truly life-giving. Thanks be to Him for setting us free. Amen. It's our practice at Bethel to close services with a testimony of faith, where we stand together and we say, we are a community that believes, and this is what we say. Well, I ask you to stand with me right now. And our testimony of faith will be said in unison with the angels from heaven. Let us say together, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Amen. We're going to sing together a song. It's, if you like to sing in Dutch, some of our people do, you can sing it in Dutch. If you don't know Dutch, we're going to sing it in English. Let's